Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Don't. What I want you all to do for me.
Bang! What you looking for? The same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this. I bring a old and roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be their friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
all. Cause some they never have this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Welcome, welcome to a nice crisp Sunday morning on the East Coast. Windy and cold, typical February weather. Yes, you are talking to the master. I am the master, JT. This is the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. It's 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room, open chat room. Anything goes in that chat room, whatever you want to talk about, as always on a Sunday morning. It's open season on the chat room. I have no qualms about talking about any subject on the subject of football, politics, relationships, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. The master always is open to any kind of conversation. That's how we roll on Sunday. Anyway, like I said, this is a master plan, and like I had played earlier, it says don't believe the hype. Well, let's see. Why the master all of a sudden just play that from Public Enemy, an old rap song? Why? Because today, and yesterday, and tomorrow, this whole weekend, some young bucks from the college football ranks are trying to make their way into the NFL and are showing their wares in the NFL Combine. And we had a conversation on the FSP show this past Saturday, and it was a brief conversation, but it got my blackness up. It got me going, got my old blood boiling about the old stereotype of the black quarterback versus the white quarterback. The hyped up Andrew Luck, that's what I'm talking about. I think he's overhyped. I've been saying it for a long time that he's been overhyped. I predicted it before the college season. I said it on the FSP show. I said it last year. I'll say it again. I said that he would not win the Heisman, and he didn't. RG3 won the Heisman. But guess who's going to supposedly be the number one pick? Andrew Luck. And he's been the consensus number one pick. And whenever he would come out, especially this year, he's been hyped by the media, hyped by all, but except for me, about being the top choice in quarterback. Who won the Heisman? Who was the best athlete? Who's got the better deep ball? Now, I'm going to give you some statistics later on. I'm going to have you listen to Chris Broussard, Skip Bayless, and also Cordell Stewart on First Take, and have them give you their opinion. I'm going to play it. It's about a six-minute clip. I'm going to have you listen to the whole clip, listen to each individual and what they're talking about. And I'm going to talk about other things about this quarterback, Andrew Luck, and this quarterback, RG3, and why the stereotype is still in effect, but used in code words, used in words like he's an athletic quarterback, used like he has a lot of speed, we don't know if he can adapt to the NFL style because he runs out of a spread offense. Well, true, a lot of quarterbacks can adapt to the NFL because of they've been running in college a spread offense, but that spread offense has been moved slowly, but being moved into the NFL. And they said the same thing about Cam Newton. They said he's going to have all kind of problems because he only ran in the spread offense. Cam Newton lit it up, offensive rookie of the year. I think he dispelled that stereotype. They said he was an athletic quarterback. That's a code word for a black quarterback. He's an athletic quarterback. In my opinion, that is a code word, meaning that he doesn't have much talent, but his athletics will make up for it. That's a bunch of bull, in my opinion. And I'm going to give you, like I said, give you some statistics to dissuade that opinion, I hope. But first, let's do this. Why don't I play the clip? It's about a six-minute clip. The three guys go back and forth with their opinion, what they think, who is the best quarterback. And then I'm going to give you some statistics, and then hopefully I can spark some kind of, I don't know, debate or whatever, if someone calls in or not. But if that's okay, if they don't call in, I can start the debate with it myself. Not a big deal. So what we're going to do now is play this clip. If you'd like to call in, like I said, the number is calling is 347-637-3220. And let's get the – got me going here. I got my my blood boiling, losing my breath here, but that's okay. We can deal with that. Let's talk about Luck versus RG3 on First Take. This was happened – this was about in the early part of January, so there's a lot's been going on. But the basis of this conversation is still the same. Let's roll this thing.
Is Andrew Luck the best quarterback coming out?
I would say no. I would say Robin Griffin III is the best quarterback for every reason you just mentioned.
Will he be the best at the next level?
I would say it all boils
That's
down
the question.
It all boils down to who wants you, and you're the best for that team. But the question, the general question is he the best quarterback in this draft? And my answer is, Andrew Luck is, my answer is no. And the only reason why I say this is because he had the Trump trophy. Not the Trump card, but the Trump trophy. And that's the Heisman trophy. Yeah, you could have all the Johnny Walkers. You could have all the Davey O'Brien, the Maxwells. You can do all the different trophies that indicate why you may be the best at that position. But when you talk about the best player in the country, bar none, hands down. You're talking in the first three games, he had 13 touchdowns to 12 incompletions.
Okay, but next level.
Next level, I think he will turn out to be something special because you don't know if Andrew Luck is going to turn out to be something special.
You bet on RG3
as a better prospect.
I would say he's a better prospect because when you look at the intangibles that he has, the way this league is evolving with the quarterbacks that are the elite quarterbacks, guys can move in the pocket, and they have very strong arms. And what you have in Rob RG3 is he's an outstanding quarterback, let alone an outstanding athlete. And I think there's no one in this draft that has the intangibles like he does. Yes, he had the injury last year. He came back in this past season, and he's done some outstanding things for us throwing the football. Everyone talked about the receivers that he had around him. It was the balls that he was throwing. He was extremely accurate. He was very precise in where he wanted to go with the football. And in some cases, it was better than most on the collegiate level when I had the opportunity to see him. And I like his background. Look at his family, his mom, his dad. They're military people. So when it comes to disciplinarians and understanding how to prepare and moving forward, I think he has the intangibles as well as he's graduated. So he's a smart young kid. There's nothing wrong with it. The question becomes, what do you want on your team? When you talk about player, he's hands down the best player in this draft and the best quarterback. Hands down.
Well, let's get your thoughts on this.
Look, I love RG3, just like you do, but I think Andrew Luck is the best quarterback. I think they'll both be very good, but I think you never fully know with
you
the
don't.
Quarterback.
No, it's not
but
a science.
I think Luck is more surefire than RG3. They're both, you mentioned, smart, intelligent, good character guy. So is Andrew Luck. Strong arm, accurate, can throw all types of passes, you know, has been in a pro-style offense. He looks off receivers. Like, you don't see that a lot from even good college quarterbacks. So I think he can do everything, and he's got the size. You know, RG3 is big enough, but he's a little lanky, and, I mean, I'm nitpicking, but I just think Luck's got more of a durable, sturdy body, you know, 6'4", a little heavier. I think Andrew Luck is more of a surefire quarterback. And while he's obviously not as athletic as RG3, he can run too. You know, he's going to be a guy that can, you know, be mobile, can shake off some tacklers, and can run when he has.
It might be a bad thing for him. He takes tacklers on head on. And NFL GMs won't love that.
But he's got a little, like Big Ben. He's not quite that big. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's got that type of mobility, you know, to get it out of the pocket.
First of all, I'm not sure RG3 is lanky. Because I'm not sure how tall he is. I wish I knew that he was a full 6'2" inches tall, because I would like him even more than I do like him. But he's put together now. I mean, I think he's up in that 220 range, so I think he's just fine in that department. So bottom line. Safer pick is Luck. Prototype, NFL ready.
Fits the mold for sure.
Yeah, I'm with Cordell, though.
And pedigree, too.
Yeah. Better pick long-term, RG3.
Yeah.
I'm going with it. The it factor, the magic factor, the clutch gene, I've seen it all this year. And he was a little bit of a late bloomer. But when he bloomed, man, it was a big bloom, because I don't think I've ever seen a better deep thrower than RG3 is. Touch, accuracy, dropping it on a dime. Now, you can argue he had more speed at receiver than Luck did after he lost to Owusu especially. But, come on, there's something about having world-class speed to complement a world-class arm. And RG3 wants to throw it first. He'll stay as long as he can in the pocket. When it's time to take off, if you dare him to, the way Oklahoma did in the last 50 seconds, he will scorch you. He has beyond Michael Vick speed. I do like his character. I like his intangibles. But I must say, for the record, that was the best game I've seen Andrew Luck play last night.
He was almost perfect.
27-31.
Yeah.
Right. He was supremely efficient and accurate. And speaking of the Colts, Peyton, he was Peyton-like.
He was.
He's worlds ahead of anybody
in college. When he needed to score in a hurry, he did it.
He's changing protections. He's getting into the right sets. He's looking off receivers, like you said, and he did something that Peyton has never been able to do. When he had to, he used his legs to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
And he can throw it on the run accurately. I give him all the above. I think he'll be very good at the next level. I just have a gut feeling, and mine have been pretty good on this, that RG3, it may take more time, it may take 2-3 years, but he will explode into something beyond Andrew
Luck. Would you acknowledge this? At that spot, the number one pick in the draft, the gut feelings... Because it's not a science, and because we've seen so many guys be taken in that slot and washed completely out, don't you want to use more science in that spot than gut?
Andrew Luck is better built, better prepared to withstand the pressure of being the number one overall than the other kid is. The other kid did come late to this party, so this would be crushing pressure to be the number one overall to the Colts. While the other kid has known for 3 years he's been projected as the number one overall, and his father, Oliver, and we're about to talk about Oliver, played in the National Football League. So he grew up in NFL locker rooms. He believes he belongs.
There's something
he
to that,
he carries himself like, I belong here.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
would number one overall crush him? No. He would stand right up to it. Again, is he better built for the long term? No. I'm going with the other kid because the other kid's got the thing about him.
And that's my contention. Now, one of the reasons I played it, two out of the three guys in that conversation were talking about RG3 being the best quarterback. One of them, Skip Bayless, and I've listened to Skip Bayless on a regular basis when I can, when time is available and I'm around when that ESPN show takes place, is a hard person to... please, and it's very critical of athletes. Doesn't make a difference what level they are, pro or amateur in college, like I said. But it's very critical if he sees a chink in the armor. He's very critical of quarterbacks. And if you listen to the conversation, he said that RG3 has that better it factor than Andrew Luck. Now, both these guys are at the NFL Combine. Both these guys are not going to be throwing. They're going to be throwing on their pro days. One is on March 21st. The other one's on March 22nd, give or take a day or two. But I think I have my dates correct on that, which I think is a mistake. The number one pick for the most part last year that everyone thought he was, and he was, in fact, with Cam Newton, and Cam Newton decided to throw, and he didn't throw that well at the combine. He acknowledged that himself, and all the so-called experts that had a keen eye on Cam Newton thought Cam Newton would not do well because the way he threw in a combine and the question of accuracy that he had going into the NFL season, without a prolonged OTAs and things like that to prepare him for the regular season. Had a shortened preseason and all, so everyone thought that Cam Newton would not excel, and so-called athletic quarterback in his spread offense. Well, you know, RG3 won the Heisman. You know that, okay? Let me give you some statistics that I have that I believe Andrew Luck. I said in strong words yesterday that I think he's going to be a bust. That may be a strong words. He's been hyped, just like you heard in that clip. He's been hyped for the last few years as a can't-miss guy. He's been hyped being a son of a ex-NFL player who happened to play in the league and who had ties into the league, that this kid is NFL-ready, playing in the Harbaugh offense at Stanford. You know, Harbaugh went to the 49ers, and Andrew Luck decided to forego, or not forego, but stay in and play one more year. And I thought, and he probably thought, I'm thinking that, you know, this is my year. I can come out as the number one pick and win the Heisman. Well, Mr. Luck, your schedule wasn't as tough as RG3, and RG3 exceeded your stats quite a bit. Now let me and the thing about it, Stanford had a ranked team, highly ranked team, versus Baylor, who basically is building their system from what RG3 had been doing for the last basically 3 years. Let me give you some statistics that I'll start from 2009. How's that? I'll start from 2009 because RG3 was a, if I'm not mistaken, a redshirt freshman. And I'll start from 2009. In 2009, RG3, he's just starting out his career, and he only had 45 completions out of 69 attempts, whereas Andrew Luck had 162 completions out of 288 attempts. RG3's completion rate was 65.2. Andrew Luck's was 56.3. RG3's yard per attempt was 6.97. Andrew Luck's was a couple yards more, 8.94. Andrew Luck in 2009 had 13 touchdowns because of the least amount of attempts, a lesser amount of attempts. RG3 only had 4 touchdowns with no interceptions, so he didn't throw any interceptions. Andrew Luck threw 4 interceptions. That's an overall rating, and I'm just going by this overall rating of 143.5 for Andrew Luck, and for RG3 is 142.9. In 2010, now we're getting a little better here, and this is where the competition really heats up, okay? Now, this is for the most part, this is when Andrew Luck comes on the scene and supposedly is the man, okay? 2010. He's the hyped up, and everyone thinks he's going to come out and be the man, number one pick, be the great white hope of whoever team picks him up, and he decided to stay in. Well, his statistics in 2010 was 263 completions out of 372 attempts for 3,338 yards, a 70.7 completion rate, 8.97 yards per attempts, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 170.2 quarterback rating. RG3, 304 completions, 454 attempts, a little less, a little more, 3501 in yards, complete yards, 67.0 percentage completion rate. Now, 3% is less, okay? His yard per average, a yard per attempt was 77.71. That's lower than Andrew Luck, so we beat a little bit. But he had 22 interceptions and eight interceptions. I mean, 22 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and his quarterback rating was 144. Now, remember, this is a track star, and now he's playing football as a quarterback, and this is a team that's not on the same caliber as Stanford. Stanford was rated last year. They were rated the year before. Andrew Luck is supposed to be the savior. They had a lot more talent, and Jim Harbaugh was the coach. So there was a lot of things going for Andrew Luck. Harbaugh leaves. He goes to the NFL. Now it's RG3 has matured a little bit more, gets a little better grasp of the offense. So all the hype is for Andrew Luck to be the consensus. Everybody is hyping this guy. Consensus, he's going to be the number one pick, and also he's going to win the Heisman. Like I said, he ain't going to happen, and it didn't happen. He didn't win the Heisman, and this is the reason why. Andrew Luck's statistics, 288 completions, 404 attempts, 3,572 yards, 3,517 yards, 71.3 completion rate. His yard per attempts was 8.71. His touchdowns were 37, and he had 10 interceptions, and his rating was, now it went down from last year, but slightly, 169.7. I have a caller, I think it's Black. I'll bring him in a minute. I want to get this out, and then I'll bring Black in. This is RG3. This is the Heisman Trophy winner. This is my opinion that he's the number one pick. He's the top dog in this hunt. 291 completions. 402 attempts. Now, Andrew, look at 288 and 404, so they're comparably the same. 4,293 yards. He almost threw for almost over 700 yards more than Andrew Luck. His completion percentage was 72.3, which is better than Andrew Luck. This is key, because this is key in the NFL. This guy is a great deep ball thrower, and he proved it. Andrew Luck, yard per average last year was 8.71. RG3's, and I was surprised when I saw this, was almost 2 yards longer, 10.68. That's amazing. He had 37 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Now, like I said, Andrew Luck had 37 and he had 10 interceptions. RG3's rating was on 89.5. We're talking about the most athletic quarterback that supposedly he may have trouble reading NFL defenses because he comes out of the spread offense. Cam Newton came out of spread offense. How'd he do? Tell me why Andrew Luck is the supposedly consensus number one pick. Talk to me, Black. Talk to me.
Well, along with that, you can now also add, as Adam Schefter is reporting this morning, a blazing 4.38 in the 40 for RG3.
Yes, and you know what? And he ran a 4.41 with his first one, and he ran a 4.38 with his second. He has almost the same amount of same size hands as Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's got like a 10-inch hand. RG3 is just short of that. He's nine and change. I don't know the exact figure, but he's 9 and change. I don't understand. You know, on the program yesterday, I started stuttering and started getting upset because it was upsetting me because it runs into that same old adage about a black quarterback versus a white quarterback. The white quarterback being intelligent, the black quarterback supposedly being athletic, which is a code word for he's not as intelligent, but his athleticism makes up for it. Talk to me about that.
Hey, you know me, man. I'm a supporter of RG3, and I don't see why RG3 wouldn't be the number one pick with all these tools that are very, very similar to Michael Vick and Cam Newton, who were guys that went number one.
Exactly. Hey, what can I tell you? You know, but we had talked about this yesterday, that he's been hyped up, and I don't know if you listened to my opening salvo. I played Public Enemy, Don't Believe the Hype. Hey, man, hey, I told you, he got me going yesterday. He got me going, and I can't knock it until I get out off of this. This is my therapy, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
And now Chef just tweeting, after RG3 smoking 40, condolences go out to Cleveland, Washington, and Miami. The Rams' number two pick just became not much more valuable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. This kid, and you know, I don't know if I'm setting this kid up to fail by plugging him more than I'm plugging Andrew Luck, but my point is this. He won the Heisman. He was clearly the best player in my opinion, the best quarterback in the nation, bar none. It wasn't even close. Plus the fact is, Andrew Luck had a lot more talent, had a weaker schedule, and they're still promoting this guy. When he went up against top-flight quarterbacks, meaning Matt Barkley from USC, for one, which I watched on the screen, clearly outplayed him. Even though Stanford won the game, it wasn't Matt Barkley's fault. It was the fact is the circumstances. But he got clearly outplayed by a quarterback that's now – he's still in college. Matt Barkley's going to come out next year. That clearly outpaid him, played him. So I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on that, man. I we can go back and forth on this, but something that –
I don't disagree with you at all. I'm in your corner.
Yeah,
I've been very vocal for Robert Griffin ever since he went to Baylor. And as he came in as a freshman, I was like, I'm hoping they put the right tools around this guy, bringing some recruits that he can be successful. And we see 2 years later, he was successful. I know about this guy coming out of high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
see, I didn't know about this kid. I jumped on a bandwagon a little late, but he's clearly got skills, in my opinion, better than Andrew Luck. And I like I said, I don't know if you listened to the clip I had with Cordell Stewart, Chris Broussard, and Skip Bayless, clip from. The first take, two of the three guys on that panel, Cordell Stewart, and amazingly, I was surprised, Skip Bayless said that RG3 is the better quarterback. So I mean, it's amazing that regardless of what is in front of your face, and you can plainly see that who the better quarterback is, that the supposedly colorless media is hyping one quarterback versus the other, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I just had to get that out. I know the this is the day of the that a lot of people are watching the NFL Combine, because this is the money guys here. The guys that sell the tickets, the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers. You know, I didn't get your opinion on this, but what do you think about the quarterbacks that aren't throwing? We got the two named quarterbacks, and then this other guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, He's probably the tallest of all the quarterbacks from, I think he's from Arizona State or whatever.
From Arizona State? I don't have a problem with the two named guys not throwing because, you know, they're going to be top five picks. But for the rest of you guys, if you want to improve your stock, you better throw this combine. I understand it's not your receivers, but you got to show the scout something so you can improve that drive stat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they all should throw, in my opinion, because you had Cam Newton. He was definitely going to be the number one pick. Everybody knew that, just like they know that, supposedly know that Andrew Luck's going to be the number one pick, unless he does something drastically wrong or something drastically happens and his stock falls. And Cam Newton wasn't afraid to pony up to the criticism if he didn't throw well. And he didn't throw well at the combine, but his competitive nature, and I got to hand it to my man, whatever criticism that he got, he was standing up and taking all of it. And when the season finally finished, all he could say basically is, "I told you so." So I got to hand it to him. I wasn't expecting too much going into the season, but he exceeded those expectations, especially from his own teammates. I know they didn't think he was going to play as well as he did, but under the spotlight, when the pressure, the SEC quarterback, man, it pays dividends when you play in that type of competitive environment, like just one level short of being in the NFL, playing in the SEC, all that competition.
The SEC is like a playoff run every week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's highest level of competition that you could probably get in college football is playing in the SEC. So if you are in one of those teams in that conference, you're thought of a little bit highly more. You're thought of a little bit more highly because the level of competition. So,
I'm interested to see what type of combine that Ryan Tannehill has from Texas A&M. That's the guy that Vic was talking about yesterday.
I don't understand why he's hyping that guy. I mean, he's supposed to be the third
rated. He did the same thing last year with what is that guy? Pike.
Pike. Yeah. Yeah. And he, I don't know if he's still on the roster anywhere. I know last he was on Carolina. I think he barely made Carolina's roster. I don't know if he's still there or not now. I don't know. You know. I claim to have a pretty good eye for running backs. Don't claim to have a good eye for quarterbacks, but from what I know about Tannehill, I know he's supposed to be the third rated quarterback. But I keep my theme of this show is don't believe the hype. So you got to prove it to me. I mean, these guys that are in the combine now can improve their stock. Start to improve the stock in the combine and then improve it more on their pro days, whenever they are. I'm talking about the quarterbacks. I know the quarterbacks are running, wide receivers are running now. I think the running backs won't go until, let's see now. I got the schedule here.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what my man from Virginia Tech runs. Wilson, the running back?
Yeah. When do the, let me see, 26th Sunday, time? Well, I got to imagine, I don't have the exact hour-by-hour schedule, but they got to be, you got the wide receivers and the quarterbacks already ran or running. So it's got to be sometime in, 10:30 now? Probably in the next hour or so that the running backs, which I'm really anxious to see. Unfortunately, Trent Richardson is not going to be running, but there's a couple of guys I want to look at and see.
Trent Richardson is not running?
As far as I know, because he had a arthroscopic surgery on his
man.
Knee. Yes. You didn't know about that?
No, I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah, he's not supposed to be running because he had, I guess, about 3 weeks ago, give or take, arthroscopic surgery on his knee. So he's not going to be participating in any drills. So I guess he's going to do it all on his pro day. What was I going to say here? Oh, I lost my freaking train of thought. That's okay. So what else been happening, man? Talk to me.
I think I wasted time last night. I'm glad I cut it off early. Watching the All-Star festivities last night, the skills challenge was terrible. I decided to cut it off after that. Saw some highlights from the dunk contest. The dunk contest is just not the same anymore.
I heard that they did someone did something in the dark. I didn't watch it, so I'm just asking questions here. Someone did a feat in the dark or something like that. Am I wrong about that?
I saw the highlights on the news. A guy had on a glow-in-the-dark uniform, glow-in-the-dark headband, and they cut off all the lights, and the back wall was glow-in-the-dark along with the rim, and he just dunked the basketball like that.
Oh. That's just for the most part for special effects.
Visual special effects. That's all it was.
And the person who won it, I don't even know who won it, but the person who won it, was it justified them winning it, or was it a popularity contest, or what?
Well, I understand this year that they didn't have the judges. It was all fan voting for you to win, and the guy that did win, he dunked two basketballs. I mean, McGee dunked three last year, so I don't know what was the big deal. The dunk contest is not the same. All those activities, they need to find a way to re-spruce up all those contests in the All-Star games. All that stuff was put down last night. Get that harder efforts from the players as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I there was also something I wanted to talk about here. Yeah, he ran.
But they won't get me tonight. I will not be watching the All Star game.
You know, I can't remember the last time I watched one of those. It's the NFL Pro Bowl and the NBA All Star game, or and even the Major League Baseball All Star game. I don't know how fans gravitate to those things. Maybe it's the external things that happen around those events that are more popular than the game itself, because the game itself in all those major sports don't seem thrilling enough for me to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours on watching it on the TV. So I don't know your opinion. I know you're not a big baseball fan, even though you do like your Nationals. I don't know how you feel about those.
I'm not too much of a fan of the All Star games. You know, you're getting 100% effort in them. So I don't really watch any of them.
Okay. Now I'm reading. The reason I'm not gonna say anything because I'm reading something that really upsets me here. I wouldn't say really upsets me, but it seems like they're locked in. They got blinders on and they're not seeing anything else. I'm reading something from RotoWorld.com about a report that the Colts have already decided on Luck. Now I'm maybe rehashing things, but the reason I'm saying this is because whatever this source is reporting, it seems like it doesn't make a difference what happens, that this great white hope is going to the Colts. Now this is why I say it. The source says Luck is the guy. It says, and this is a quote, "I don't care what happens at the combine. I don't care if Griffin flies. Other organization sources tell Silver," which is Michael Silver of Yahoo Sports, "it was owner Jim Irsay, not team president Bill Polian, who stood firmly behind Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf in the 1988 draft. Even if new GM Ryan Grigson veers toward RG3, Irsay is expected to step in and overrule that too. Okay. What do you think about that, end quote? What do you think about that? It seems like, like I said, they have blinders on. They're going to pick Andrew Luck.
They are locked in, and there's no way you're going to convince them otherwise. They are locked in. The draft now is picks 2 through round 7 because they're locked in at that number one. They're already setting their mind what they're going with.
Let me put it this way. Now, the Browns pick 4, and the Browns have 2 picks in the draft. They have the 4th pick, and they have the 22nd pick from the Falcons from last year. The Browns are a viable candidate. I'm looking down the draft order here and seeing who else could be a viable candidate. And the Redskins are a viable candidate. And maybe I don't think the Dolphins would go that route. I think they're going through the free agency route. I don't think the Cardinals are either. So it looks like it's the Rams who in the number 2 pick are in the catbird seat, like you said, because the RG3, the 40s RG3s ran already. And the Browns and the Redskins and maybe some other dark horse team that we're not thinking about, it's going to be vying for the number 2 pick to pick up RG3, not wanting to take a chance on RG3 getting past the number 2 pick. What do you think?
I'm thinking I need to get on the horn with Jerry Jones right now. So I'm going to give up Dez Bryant, Tony Romo, and let's get this number 2 pick.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, you're talking about giving up Tony Romo. Quite naturally, the Rams have Sam Bradford. They wouldn't take Tony Romo in that. So you're talking about...
They would take Dez Bryant to go along with... What's that guy that's already there they got from Denver? His name escapes me right now.
They got the from wide Denver? Out. The wide out from... for the Browns? Oh, you're talking about Brandon Lloyd.
Brandon Lloyd, yes.
Yes, yes. Brandon Lloyd's I think he's a free agent also, so... and I don't know if he's going to be signing with them or because there's been rumors that he may be interested in going to the Patriots. So, but besides that, I'm hearing you. Am I hearing that you're thinking about trading Dez Bryant?
Yeah. It's
really?
It proves to me that he can run routes. I mean, he's freelancers out there, man. I need guys who are going to run routes. It's going to be what they need to be.
Okay. But
and
I mean,
still a headache off of the field.
You don't think that's going to? I mean, your other diva wide receiver that had issues was Michael Irvin. Eventually, he cleaned his act up. You don't think Dez Bryant can be the same and clean his act up?
He could, but. Dez Bryant is a receiver. They come a dime a dozen. You're not going to get a quarterback every day that runs a 4-3 with a big arm.
Okay. So you think that, and then that's telling me that you are not sold anymore on Mr. Romo.
I haven't been sold on Romo since the playoff game, the playoff debacle in Seattle.
Okay. Now I have a couple friends of mine that are diehard Giant fans, and they've been Giant fans for quite a while, and they've dogged out Eli left and right. Even though Eli's won now 2 Super Bowls, they've dogged out Eli, Eli Manning. Eli had his best season this year than he had in prior years. My point being, you don't think Tony Romo has that type of maturity ahead of him to bring a championship to Dallas in the near future?
I believe Romo is older than Eli.
Yes, he is. quarterback.
He is what he is at this point.
Okay. You think he's a statistical quarterback during the regular season?
Yes, that's it. He's a statistical quarterback during the season.
And when the push comes to shove and the pressure is the highest on at the playoff level, he's like the
email you sent me the other day. He just walked away. Take a walk to the beach when the playoffs come around. Don't let him end up talking about playoffs. Folds him up, puts his bikini on, and heads for the beach.
Well, that Romo pick was very that wasn't bad. I mean, when he got to Roethlisberger, that was a different story, but it's good to have a short name. I'm looking forward to this season. I think your quarterback has a lot to prove.
He has a lot to prove every season.
Yeah.
That's the thing with him. The expectations are so high in Dallas, and we're not getting the results.
Okay. I'm looking at the...
I need Jerry Jones to remove himself from being a GM, and that's been a GM out here that's going to do things the right way.
Well, that's going to be difficult to do because Jerry Jones is a very much a hands-on owner, and that's one of the reasons why the second favorite coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm talking about Jimmy Johnson, left because Jerry Jones wanted too much of the limelight, wanted too much to do with the decision-making, and not let Jimmy run the team the way he wanted to. That's going to be difficult. I mean, I think the only way that's going to happen, Black, is if Jerry Jones is not the owner of the team. I think that's the only way that's going to happen, or something happens to him health-wise, that he's unable to fulfill those type of duties and get a regular GM in there, a football person. I'm not saying Jerry Jones is not a football guy, but he does a lot of things, I think, on emotion, besides getting all the statistics and getting all the information from his scouts and coaching staff. You're right. He needs to be the owner, write the check, and hold everyone accountable for whatever job title they have, and not be intertwined or highly involved like he is right now. I think it would serve better. I mean, who best to see what not to do as an owner? And he was good friends with the guy, and his wife was good friends with his wife. But with Al Davis, you know what I'm saying? Al Davis,
yeah,
for the longest, did everything, and for the longest, he was stuck back in the 70s or the 80s, and it hurt the team for the longest amount of time for the simple reason he was the end-all, the be-all. So, it was either his way or the highway. Now, that's good at sometimes, but if you're stuck behind the times and your team is suffering for it and you can't see the light before the trees, so you need to change. And it took for him to be passing away in order for the organizational things to change. And I read an article online that the now owner, Al Davis' son, says things are changing. Things are even changing even more now. Going to be more of a structured, a typical structure of an NFL organization than it was before. So I see but nothing but positive things happening for the Raiders in the traditional organizational type of things that take place for an NFL team when the owner is just the owner and not the owner and GM and player personnel guy or whatever. I understand exactly what you're saying. So I may be rambling, but to get my point across, I had to get all that out to express it the way I wanted to. All right. We have the, let's see, you know, he runs a 4-3. Oh, you know what I want to say that, what I want to say here was that, also read on here that the Eagles are listening to trade offers for Deshaun Jackson. Did you hear about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's more than likely that he's going to be tagged with the franchise, franchise tag. There may be some rumblings in the near future of Mr. Deshaun Jackson getting traded to some other team. Some other team want to have that that headache. I don't know about that. I don't even know if – let me put it this way. If the opportunity arose that Deshaun Jackson – now, they've done it in the past. Nothing to say they won't do it in the future. That you want to trade Deshaun Jackson to the Cowboys. Would you take Deshaun Jackson?
I already have one headache. And you're talking about bringing in another headache?
At
this point, I don't think I'll take Deshaun Jackson. Just because of his attitude. Once he gets paid, you know, once he gets paid, how's he going to act? Is it going to be lackadaisical on the field? Is he still going to give that type of effort? I would stay away from Deshaun Jackson.
Well,
That's just an odd situation because we're already dealing with a headache.
Well, let me put it this way then. All right, say after March 5th, which is the you can franchise whatever before March 5th or whatever. Anyway, suppose this happens. There's a package that the Cowboys give to whoever, to trade Dez Bryant away in order to clear spaces for Deshaun Jackson. Now, Dez Bryant is out of the picture. You got whoever you got, draft picks or whatever, for Dez Bryant. Now you set your sights on Deshaun Jackson. Now you got rid of one headache, so you don't have two headaches on there. You won't supposedly two headaches. And you never know. They come to a different team and have a totally different attitude. You never know. Anyway, Dez Bryant's gone. Now Deshaun Jackson is sitting in front of you. Would you take him or not?
I probably would take him because I would need that big play besides Miles Austin because I'm not sure if our other guy's coming back or not, Lamont Robinson.
Right.
But I probably would make the move then. But I need 100% effort for 16 games.
Okay. Well, because of the offense that the Cowboys run, there's more of a chance that Deshaun Jackson is going to get a lot more touches because of his deep ball threat and Tony Romo's propensity to throw the ball deep. I think you probably would get a consistent effort from Deshaun Jackson because the fact is he knows that there's a strong chance that the ball is coming his way more times than they would in Andy Reid's offense.
But they throw the ball more than Andy Reid's offense. That's the whole thing.
Yes. But it all depends on the type of throws too. I mean, if Deshaun Jackson is good at throwing, is running at what, a 9 route, a deep ball route, versus a short route like over the middle, or a seam route for a slot receiver. So, You know, he don't like going over the middle. After he got creamed, I think last year, he's got a he kind of gets alligator arms when he goes over the middle now. So it's all Randy Moss type of throws now. Nine routes, deep routes, throw me the ball. I know I'm not going to get hit by a safety or whoever in the middle. He still wouldn't take Deshaun Jackson. I'm trying to convince you here. I know I'm not succeeding.
Would the Jets take Deshaun Jackson?
Well, I tell you flat out, and it only has one quick answer: no, no, no. I'm just giving you all different scenarios to see if you're going to fall for taking Deshaun Jackson and dealing with the headache. I'm just putting it out there. No, I wouldn't take if I was a Cowboys. There's no way I would take Deshaun Jackson, even if there was no Dez Bryant. And absolutely not would I take Deshaun Jackson, especially if Santonio Holmes is still there. That's two headaches. That's not going to happen. So.
And don't forget about him blowing up at Mark Sanchez if he is there.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the personality of my quarterback is not, in my opinion, a strong quarterback to stand up to wide receiver, diva wide receiver, that starts smack, that's just talking a lot of smack and talking a lot in a huddle, instead of telling them to shut up. I think he leaves that to other guys in the huddle, and he kind of goes off into the corner and waits for things to die down, in the next play's call, which is not the way the quarterback, the supposed leader of the team, is supposed to be. But anyway, we've got 3 minutes left in the show, and you know what? I'm gonna end this show on time today, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because I wanna sit down and do some little research in this combine. I want to see what these running backs, especially running backs, going to do. I may be able to get a diamond in a rough somewhere, hopefully. So,
you're gearing up for fantasy.
Like I said on the FSP Cruise Show, man, it's a 24/7, 365. I get information different hours of the day from different sites, and I store that. I take notes on mental notes, and I take hard notes because all that adds up. Some of it comes through, some of it doesn't. You got to stay on top of it. I love to play fantasy football, and I love football anyway, so I watch it a lot. I watch anything that has to do with football a lot. So it's my favorite sport. It's not the only sport I like, but it's the favorite sport to watch and I got to try to repeat my title to somewhere. I got to try to win your league or some other league. I want to get paid. So I want to get paid. So when you get paid, you got to put the time in, man. So anyway, you got anything else before we live out of here?
I'm good. I need to try to get to a TV and see the rest of this combo.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I always appreciate the conversation you and I have. And I'll be talking to you on the Thursday, which is the FSP Cruise Show, which I host along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And also, we also converse on Saturday with the FSP Show with Vic Gardner as the host. I'm a co-host along with Black. And then we'll be back here again talking about the whenever on the Master Plan, which is 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, every Sunday. And last but not least is Compassion Dakini, which happens to be Kim Fun's new show. I think she's about 3 or 4 weeks into the show right now. That happens to be on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. That's a totally different show from all the other shows, which mainly deal with sports of some type. And we're going to end this show with an old school song. I always like my old school This happens to be a Curtis Mayfield song. Way back in the day, I'm going to play. It's like I said, it's a Curtis Mayfield song. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you have not. It's called The Making of You. Black, I'll be talking to you on Thursday with our guest Victor Page will be there. We have a guest on Thursday show, Victor Page from Georgetown. Hoya player, used to play with Allen Iverson. We'll find out what he's been doing for the last few years, whether it's good or bad. Black, it's good talking to you again. Take care, my friend.
Good talking to you, sir. Take care.
All right.
Honeysuckle and a great big expression of happiness. Boy, you couldn't miss with a dozen roses. Such would astound you. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. It is true, the makings of you. The righteous way to go. Little one would know or believe. I taught them so. You're second to none. The love of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite. Almost impossible to do. Reciting the makings of you. The righteous way to go. Little one would know or believe if I told them so. Of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite. Almost impossible to do. Reciting the makings of you.